Welcome to Reading the Grid with Erin and Ina. Each week, we explore the stories behind books, movies, and shows that highlight the history of this dynamic sport. Buckle up for a fast-paced journey through Formula One. Now let's jump into it. We're coming out of the summer break and heading straight into the Dutch Grand Prix at Zandvoort, where the spotlight is on McLaren. Oscar Piastri holds a narrow lead in the championship over teammate Lando Norris, and both drivers are pushing hard. Will Zandvoort tilt the balance in this teammate showdown? And of course, Max Verstappen returns to his home crowd looking to deliver heroics in front of a sea of orange. But that's not the only drama. Silly season rumors are swirling. Cadillac has announced Sergio Perez and Valtteri Bottas for their 2026 debut lineup. Meanwhile, Mercedes, Red Bull, and Audi are all quietly setting up their driver strategies for the next big shakeup.
We've got predictions, bold takes, and all the latest paddock whispers. So let's get into it. Erin, let's chat about the race before diving into the off-track drama. Who do you have for pole position?
I'm going to take a page out of the Ina guidebook and work on a revenge arc and put
Ooh.
Max Verstappen on pole because he last year was the first year he did not win in years. He's going to be on a tear, even though I think his car stinks.
It's a very good prediction. I think it has merit and may come true. But since you took Max, I'm gonna be a little boring and stick with Lando Norris, who did get pole last year. But that's not why I'm putting him on pole. I just think he has, speaking of arcs, he's found his groove. He's been winning more than I thought he should. But everything seems falling his way. I think he's gaining confidence. And I think that's what's required. Plus, he's usually very good at qualifying. And this is, I think, one of his strongest tracks. So, pole position seems likely.
All right, totally fair, which then means it's probably going to be Oscar. You and I will both get it wrong, and Oscar will be on pole.
I don't mind it.
I wouldn't complain either.
So, who do you
Okay.
have for P3?
P3. I am so torn. I keep my hopium going that Hamilton is finally going to get a Ferrari podium. And then reality checks in, and it will probably be George Russell or Charles Leclerc. I am going to continue my hopium ride, and I'm going to put Lewis Hamilton at P3, thinking he is really going to be coming back rested, recharged, and rejuvenated.
I love the hopium. And you're not, I don't think you're that far off. So, one thing that we know is that rain is a great equalizer.
Yes.
And Hurricane Erin,
That is
no,
right.
that's not the Erin that I'm talking to right now. That's the actual hurricane. I think it's going through the Atlantic and it may deliver the rain. In
Which,
Zandvoort.
in that case, Ferrari does terrible in the rain.
But
I
Lewis
just.
Hamilton is a rain master, so I still the hope he's still on point.
I'm gonna
He's,
keep it going.
how about this? It's more likely he's going to be on the podium in rain than not, even with Ferrari doing horrible in the rain.
Hopefully. I mean,
So
and I also keep thinking at some point this year,
it will
one of
happen.
it'll happen. It just has to happen. So, what about you? Who do you have on P3?
It will not be Charles Leclerc, who ended up on the podium last year, but I don't see it happening, especially if it rains. Even though, so the weather's going to be unpredictable, cool, so you would think George Russell is
Mercedes.
about to do something. But I'm going to put Max Verstappen
P3.
on P3.
Fair.
And then I have P2.
Yes, you do.
So for P2, I'm going to put Oscar Piastri. Now, I don't think he's gonna be P2, but I'm pretty sure you're gonna choose him for P1. So I need to make sure that he ends up on the podium. So that's why I'm choosing him P2.
You figured me out. Well, I was going to put him one or two, depending on where you put Lando. I was just going to do the opposite of you. But at some point, I need to have Max on the podium because I can't imagine Max not being on the podium at his home race.
Right.
But I think I'm going to keep Max off the podium in his home race. So if you put Oscar P2, I'm going to put Lando P2.
Okay. And so your
So
P1,
then my
as I'm.
P1 will be Oscar Piastri.
Okay. And I think that's the revenge arc I would like to see.
Me too. I would
Because
love that.
before I reveal my P1, so I, in all honesty, I cannot imagine McLaren not P1 and P2. Just like, there's no way.
Same.
The car is too good. So, and I think Oscar is motivated. Lando is very close. And there's now at least two races where he really should have won. And one because
Right.
of penalty, which we could say is Oscar's fault. The second is because of strategy, which really is not as much in Oscar's hands. But again, their strategy just benefited Lando. So I feel like he's due for an arc. He's due for a win. So he's gonna win. But since you chose him as P1, I will choose Lando Norris. And just, so we all acknowledge. I usually get the podium correct, just never in the right order. So I'm pretty sure what you predicted probably will happen.
We are both in agreement. I do not know how McLaren just does not continue to dominate. And I feel like P3 is usually cycled between the usual P3 suspects until
Fair.
Brazil. And then it'll be a whole different ball game.
Well,
But
just remember Silverstone, it was raining and
true.
Hulkenberg got his podium. So
It could
there's
be a Lance
anything's
Stroll.
possible.
So are we gonna?
I
Oh,
don't think so, but Aston Martin could be pretty strong here. I
they
won't discount
could.
it.
Okay, you don't have Ferrari on a podium. Where are you putting Charles and Lewis?
I'm sorry. The Hopium bubble is getting busted.
That's okay.
So if it's gonna rain, oh, Charles Leclerc is not getting anywhere near the podium. But I honestly think that Lewis needs more time to get into good place qualifying. And because Zandvoort is narrow and hard to overtake,
It is all about qualifying.
right? And I just don't see Lewis making these strides right now. I think you're right. I think eventually he'll be better. And listen, last time he was out in Q2, so I think he'll make it in Q3. And I think he'll move up. So for Lewis, I see P7.
Okay.
For Charles, I'm putting him in P5, but I'm not confident, especially if it rains.
Okay, you have a lot of qualifications on the rain.
I do.
Which I understand because I do think it will rain. The hurricane version of myself has been messy.
If Hurricane Aaron can put both Ferrari drivers on the podium, I'll be all for it.
I will be so excited. So, obviously, my hopium has me putting Hamilton P3, which would not put Charles far behind. And I'll even put Charles ahead of Max. I'll put Charles at P4.
So far, I love your predictions so much. I'm willing to lose all of them just so that it happens because that would be amazing.
So we'll see. But so, what is a wild midfield prediction for you?
I so want to say Kimi Antonelli finally beats George Russell and out-qualifies him, which he has done before. And performs him, but my hopium is not that strong. But I do want Ollie Bearman in Q3 and
Oh,
in the points.
I would love that.
He has to, if he gets another P11, I swear he's gonna self-destruct.
Yeah.
So Yes. So that's my wild
Okay.
prediction. What about you?
Okay. I am gonna say, I'm trying to decide if one or both Aston Martins finish higher than Max.
Oh my God. Please say both.
Why not? We'll go with both. This is the I don't really know what is coming out of my mouth right now.
I just love your predictions because remember, you did put Max on pole. So Max is going to be on pole and yet end up behind both Aston Martins. If that actually happens, I think Max's rage will be epic. And it's all due to Hurricane Aaron.
Just blame it on Hurricane Aaron, not the real Aaron. What does our favorite rookie Isaac Hadjar do?
Out-qualify Liam Lawson and outperform him in the race, please.
Yes,
Like
that would
he's
be
been
great.
like I think it's been two races in a row where he's been behind him. It's enough. Revenge arc. Go ahead. Come
I'm
ahead.
with you. I think it's good. Does Carlos Sainz finish in the top 10?
I don't think Williams does well in the rain.
I don't
So
think
I
they
would
do
say
either.
no.
Russell tends to do well in the rain, and if it's cool, Mercedes should do well. So hopefully Kimi ends up. I like your prediction. I'd like Kimi to end up in points.
And not too far from Russell. I mean, I'm not going to be delusional that he gets ahead of
Yeah.
him, but at least can we? It's not even like their places. I just want
The differential.
distance-wise differential not to be as huge as it is now.
That's totally fair.
Because the thing is, I think what Kimi is missing now is confidence because he's just not super fast. And that's the thing. I feel like Mercedes would be more forgiving of crashes than him not showing this raw pace that I thought he had and just disappeared somewhere.
Well, we did just put out a podcast review of the seat talking about Kimi and his confidence and his prodigy trajectory. I think him and Lando could be good together. I mean, we talked about Lando needing a confidence coach. I think a number of the drivers could benefit from it. So who knows? But we are coming out of summer break. Surprisingly quiet, silly season.
It is so boring. I
It
can't
is
believe
not what I was expecting.
the break between Silverstone and Spa was the most exciting time this year.
I know.
And for those who don't remember, it's because Christian Horner was fired.
I had so much anticipation coming into summer break because we have five or six driver contracts who need to be finalized or figure out what they're doing. Cadillac finalized their driver lineup with Valtteri Bottas and Perez.
What's interesting about that pairing is that it's been called the Battle of Number Twos.
Well, it is.
But
So
yes,
who's going to
but
be number one?
exactly. And what will that say about the person? Let's say Bottas wins that
Well,
teammate
he was,
battle.
and I saw conflicting reports because remember, he has the penalty from 2024 Abu Dhabi.
I can qualify that. So the rule was changed after that penalty was given, which is that if within 12 months the penalty falls off. So everyone thought, oh, it applied to all the drivers who've gotten the penalty before this rule change. FIA clarified that no, this only applies to any penalty given out after the rule change. So since the rule change happened after Bottas got his penalty still carries over.
That's wild to me.
And I'm just telling you, if Sergio Perez still cannot out-qualify him with that penalty, he has a lot of issues that go beyond Red Bull.
Alpine. Obviously, I don't think Franco Colapinto, unless his performance drastically turns around, is going to make it back. What do you think?
Well, agreed. I mean, that is only fair. But the one thing I think is interesting is that who will replace him?
Well, Jack Doohan's contract is up. I
Okay,
don't see them bringing Jack back.
I was gonna say, I was gonna always applaud you, Hopium, if you thought they would bring in Jack.
No.
But hilariously, it will never happen under Flavio Briatore, who I know I
It's
keep
his
mentioning that he's his
manager.
manager, but I
It's the
just like listen,
craziest thing.
it's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. Like, how is that even a thing? So
I
yeah.
don't know. So, would Flavio take Yuki?
I mean, anything is possible. I just don't see what Yuki brings that Flavio needs. He doesn't have the Honda relationship. Alpine's engine next year is Mercedes, which is going to be new for Yuki. He only has driven with Honda engines.
No, I guess that's
And
true.
one thing we've been talking about is the fact that the drivers who switch engines have a
Have
harder
a
time
harder
adapting.
time. Who do you think would slot into that seat at Alpine?
So hard.
Are they going to bring someone up from F2?
It's
A
possible.
reserve?
I mean, I think they still have Paul Aaron, who is one of their reserve drivers who hasn't gotten a chance to be in the seat yet. Well, one thing that I heard was if Kimi Antonelli is deemed needing more experience at a less pressured seat, that he might be given to Alpine because,
Oh,
again, they're getting the Mercedes engine.
that would actually probably be a good idea.
Is it Alpine is a disaster?
Alpine is a disaster, but I think he needs a lower pressure seat.
He does, but Gasly is a great. He does as much as he can with that car.
Right.
The fact that he could qualify high is still a mind-boggling experience. So I feel like if Kimi's having issues with George Russell being so much ahead of him in both qualifying and race, I don't see that changing with Pierre Gasly next to him.
Well, I really hope Mercedes announces their contracts soon. I'm just
I mean,
curious.
George is not going anywhere, so I am confident they will. But remember, there was a year, I don't remember the year, but that Lewis Hamilton started the next racing year without an official contract.
I guess that's true.
Toto Wolff can play games for as long
Toto
as he
does what
can.
Toto wants.
Correct.
And then Hadjar, I'm assuming he's taking the second Red Bull seat. That's what
Me too. They don't have anyone
all
else.
roads lead to for him,
Correct,
seemingly.
unfortunately.
I know. So then what do you do about Liam Lawson or the other? I mean, there's so many drivers that they could move into Racing Bulls.
I mean, everyone thinks that, so once Isaac Hadjar moves, everyone thinks that Arvid Lindblad, who
Right.
is in Formula Two right now, will be moving into
Well,
that
they
seat.
did push to get him his super license, so that would make sense.
Right. So what do you do about Liam Lawson? I mean, I guess the thing is, I don't get, like, RB, Racing Bulls, Toro Rosso, whoever
B
you want to
Carb
call them,
Racing Bulls, whatever
whatever
their
you want to
name
call
is.
them, right, exactly. It's the 3,000 names that you can call this team. I don't have, like, the fact that Yuki Tsunoda this year did not get a call up from the beginning of the year is mind-boggling because what's the point of this team if you don't call people up? So for Liam Lawson, who went the other way this year, I don't see him ever getting the Red Bull seat again. So why is he needed in Singbook, RB, V Carb, whatever you want to call it?
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
I mean, I guess they need it, especially with bringing a rookie again next year, they need a benchmark, and he's a benchmark. That would be the only reason. I mean, I kind of want to see them kick Liam out and demote Yuki again, but I don't see that happening. I think they're severing that relationship.
Everything sounds like they're severing ties with Yuki.
Lauren Mackey, the new team principal of Red Bull, I think he has a good relationship with Yuki Tsunoda. I think Helmut Marko is not a fan, and he seems to be in the power position right now.
Yeah, well, maybe he'll be retiring soon and they can move Vettel back into that one.
That would be fun.
Any other silly season rumors that caught your eye?
That's
That's
pretty
kind of
much
all of them,
it.
right? Yeah, it's been
Yeah.
quiet. I'm hoping this week leading into the race, maybe we get some announcements.
I would hope so because this has been the quietest. I started really following racing in 2024. And since, you know, Lewis's announcement and Carlos Sainz taking 3,000 years to decide where he wants to go, like every week brought something new, exciting. And Look at the beginning of this here. What did we have? We had Liam demotion, Jagdeo being out for Kalapintu, Oliver Oakes mysteriously quitting its esteemed principal of Alpine, the complete implosion of Red Bull with
Oh.
Max looking like he's about to make a move to Mercedes, and instead we got the Christian Horner firing.
Horner news. I mean, it's been wild.
So
So
the
I'm
fact that
so
it
surprised how
slowed,
quiet it has been.
it's like it's almost like let's do the silly season before the silly season.
Well, that's what they did.
I know, and that's not fair. Like, couldn't they have held back Christian's firing until the silly season?
That would have been so nice to give us something to hang on to in these last 3 weeks, but I
Oh,
guess we'll see what happens.
the one thing I did see, Total Wolf's interesting comments about Christian Horner. Have you seen those?
I saw a few that said he's not going to say anything bad in case he ends up in the FIA.
Oh no, there's been a lot since
Oh
then.
no, fill me in.
For listeners, I'm literally reading my DMs to Aaron. So one thing he said, who should I hate now? It looks like I'll have to find someone else.
Well,
And another thing he said, he behaved like an asshole over the last 12 to 15 years. He operates to completely different values.
so much for him being concerned about him landing in the FIA with those.
Right. So on the one hand, he seems to have been to be missing him, but on the other hand, he can't help but show exactly how he feels about him.
Well, I can't wait to see Drive to Survive and what they do with this.
I just hope they get Christian to participate because without him, like those quips, I just
They're just
realized they
not the
made a lot of
same.
episodes.
They did. They did. Well, I personally am excited that racing is back. It was a nice break, but I'm ready.
And that wraps up our look ahead to the Dutch Grand Prix and the latest very scarce silly season buzz. Zandvoort Circuit has a deceptively compact, yes, pulse-pounding seaside layout. At first glance, overtaking looks like a distant dream here. Yet history has proven that Zandvoort can flip the script in an instant. During a rain-soaked onslaught, the 2023 Dutch Grand Prix shattered records with a staggering 186 on-track overtakes, including an eye-watering 63 in a single lap. Zandvoort always brings the drama, whether it's Verstappen's chasing glory at home, McLaren's teammate battle heating up, or a surprise twist shaking up the podium. Add in the driver market rumors, and this weekend is set to be one of the most unpredictable of the season. We'll be back after the race to break it all down, who delivered, who cracked under pressure, and what it all means for the championship fight and the future of F1.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an update.
Would also love to hear from you, whether it's your thoughts on today's episode, your suggestions for F1 books, shows, or movies to explore, or a shout out to your dream team pairing. Connect with us on Instagram, YouTube, or X, or drop us an email at readingthegrid@gmail.com. We want your ideas to fuel this podcast, so don't be shy.
Thanks for joining us on Reading the Grid. Keep your engines running and your pages turning. Until next time.